It is a privilege to be here and to greet you all in the name of Jesus. Such a privilege to know that we serve the same God, and we're here to worship Him. We're here to learn more of Him. As I sat at a traffic light on my way here tonight, there was a football game going on right beside me. Well, it wasn't going on quite. There was a whole group of young men sitting there in the grass, and there was a coach standing there preaching to them. He was letting them have it on how they need to get their act together and make this game happen. And I thought about that. There's so many ways in which this assembly is so much different than that. I'm not a football coach. And we're not here about games and fun and competitions. We're here to learn of God. We're here as God's children who were created in His image and who need to find a way to be saved, find a way to be right with God, a holy God. He's created us. He's created eternity. Eternity exists. We're created as eternal beings. And it's so important for us to stop and think about our souls, to think about our relationship with Him. And I trust that this week God will be pleased to remind us about who we are, to remind us of what our calling is, and to teach us how to be His children. This is the first time that I am attempting to, I was going to say, hold a week of revivals. Someone said once that growing up as a boy, he heard a lot about preachers holding a week of revivals. He said, what we really need is somebody to let revivals loose. And I just pray that each one of us and myself would in no way hold back the revival that God would like to do in the hearts of His people. Let's not stand in that way. Let's be open to His work and to His Spirit. I do intend to have a theme song each night, and I also have a memory verse that I would like you all to try to learn between now and Sunday night. I want to give you some opportunities. Let's read that together. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Maybe some of you know this by heart already. But this verse talks about revival, and it talks about the kind of hearts that God's looking for to revive, the kind of hearts that can find revival. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Children, I would love to have you all say this verse too. School-age children, adults, let's try to commit this to memory. Let's say it together. Isaiah 57, 15. Ready? For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Open your songbooks, Hymns of the Church, to song number 3. I'd like to at least sing a few verses of this each night. Hear from the world we turn. There is so, well, I know you had a busy week already with things going on over the weekend, the beginning of the week, meetings, and but here tonight, I trust that we can turn from that, turn our hearts, turn ourselves over to seek Jesus. I think we'll just sing the first and the last verse tonight. Number 3, Hear from the World We Turn.
Oh, hear from the world we turn, Jesus to seek. Here may His loving voice tenderly speak. Savior, thy work revive. Here may we see those who are dead in sin, quickened by thee. Come to
You can open your Bibles to the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 18, for our text tonight. What does it take to find revival? The title tonight is Revival, Repentance, and Rain. Revival, Repentance, and Rain. We want to use an Old Testament story to learn some New Testament truths or to be reminded of some things about revival. I want to take the time to read a fair bit of this story. We have in chapter 17, verse 1, Elisha the Tishbite coming to Ahab, king of Israel, and he said these words, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And then turn over to chapter 18. "And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house." Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, "Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts." They were on the verge of dying. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, fell on his face and said, "Art thou that my lord Elijah?" And he answered him, "I am. Go tell thy lord," or Ahab, "behold, Elijah is here." And he said, "What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee." And when they said, "He is not there," he took an oath of the kingdom and nation, and they found thee not. And now thou sayest, "Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here." And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him, unto Ahab, today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam, Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain of the prophets of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call upon the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And then if we just jump down to the end, yet verse 45, And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, it's kind of a long story, but it's a fascinating story. How many miracles were going on here? As I thought of this story, God longed for a revival in Israel. That's why there was no rain. That's why there was a contest on Mount Carmel. That's why there was fire. That's why there was rain. Because God wanted a revival, and he was using these things to speak to the hearts of his people. Elijah prayed for this rain to end. Initially, we read that in James, that he was a man of like passions, and he prayed for no rain. But it affected him as much as everyone. I know it's been so wet here, it's hard to imagine. It's actually impossible to imagine, but we can imagine a little. What would it look like in Altoona with no rain for 3.5 years? Are there any 3-year-olds here today? Some of you might have 3-year-olds. Just think about how long it was since they were a little, actually 4-year-olds, since they were a little 6-month-old baby in your arms. My son has just turned 4 years old. That's a long time. Do you know what all would happen in that amount of time? You think about the difficulty that Elijah went through. It affected him as much as anyone. He did find a place to hide, but it drove him into hiding. And then he had to beg for food and water. He was a salt man. It was difficult. I believe that God would want us to be in a frame of mind that no matter what the difficulty, we would do it if it means revival, right? Elijah also had a burden for the revival of God's people. And I believe he said, Lord, whatever it takes for these people, even if I have to go through 3.5 years of famine. So the question I want to ask tonight, I want you to ask yourself, do I want revival? Because number one, I have 7 points tonight. If we want revival, we need to be willing to endure hardness for the sake of revival. Be willing to endure hardness for the sake of revival. I don't know what all it is this week for you that you will need to endure. There's some hardness that goes into a series of meetings. There's a lot of work, moms, to get your children ready every night, isn't it? Maybe you'll need to take some extra time off work, men, in order to get here for prayer and for worship. These things, if we resist them in our lives, actually will make us harder and will make us calloused against revival. But if we surrender our hearts to them, we'll find God's blessing of revival poured out. And so I challenge us tonight to surrender to the hard things that come along with revival. This experience that God brought into Ahab's life made him a very bitter man because he wasn't surrendered to God. He was worshiping idols. He was seeking his own agenda. He was still seeking grass, but he hadn't started seeking God yet. And so it didn't change him. He had a hard heart. Let's be like Elijah. Let's be willing to go and speak to the people that God wants us to speak to. Do you think it was easy for him to go speak to Ahab? I think he feared for his life. But he did it because it was part of the revival that happened in Israel. Another thing that impresses me with this story is the amount of prayers that were offered up. We have the first prayers were those that were offered by the prophets of Baal. Very, very passionate prayers. Very intense prayers. Include a lot of activity as well. Trying to wake up or get through to their God. It is of utmost importance that we know the one we're praying to that makes all the difference. These prophets were sincere in their prayer, but they were sincerely wrong. Elijah had prayed for no rain. He had prayed for God's glory, we see in verse 36. He prayed for rain later on. I guess we actually missed that verse. He was a man of prayer. And so, secondly, do you want revival in your heart? If you want revival, you need to be committed to fervent prayer. I need to be committed to fervent prayer. You see, revival is God's work. In many ways. Yes, we have a part to do with it. But revival is God's work. And so we need to entreat our Father. Entreat God. Pray for revival in your heart. and in mine. I don't know if you noticed the verse at the top of our theme song. That's taken from Psalm 85. Let's turn there. This is one of David's prayers for revival. And maybe you want to put a bookmark in your Bible and read this prayer this week some. Or maybe you want to write out a prayer. Whatever it takes to increase the fervency of your prayer, that God would ignite the flame where it's dwindling in your life and in mine. The places where it's down to a smolder, that He would like to fan that flame and revive it and bring intensity and warmth and fellowship again. Psalm 85, let's read 4-7. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. That could be a pattern for your prayers this week. Fervency in prayer is so important if we're going to experience revival. I'd like to look at the question, fascinating question that's raised in verse 21 next. When Elijah said to the people, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Now, who was he speaking to? Who all was here? There was prophets of Baal, right? There was the prophets of the groves, 450 prophets of Baal. That's 950. But don't forget, in addition to that, all Israel was called. I don't know what size of group this was on top of Mount Carmel, but all Israel, it mentions that twice, that all Israel at least was invited. I tend to think of this group of people as a group of heathens. I tend to think of Ahab as a heathen king, but he was part, and these folks were part of God's chosen people. They were the ones that God had called out. They were the ones that God had delivered out of slavery and bondage in Egypt and taken them. And yet they turned. They turned against him. They turned to idols. They were children of the covenant that knew better. Or did they? They should have. But what we do know is that they were a vacillating people and they needed to get off the fence. Do you want revival? Do I want revival? Number three, if we want revival, we need to be willing to deal with lukewarmness and indecision. We know that God hates lukewarmness. He hates a heart that isn't on fire for Him or isn't against Him. There's just somewhere in between there. Well, if we're in between there, we are against Him. Revelation 3:15-16, the church at Laodicea. Jesus said, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." If we find ourselves in a place of lukewarmness, revival's not going to occur. I'm sorry. Elijah said, you need to decide. You cannot just stand in the middle and halt between two opinions. You have to choose one or the other, because no decision is a decision. With God, you must be all in or all out. And it's a very dangerous place to be, halting between the service of God and the service of sin. Let's look at our own hearts and let's pray for revival. Pray that God would show us any areas of lukewarmness, areas that we're halting between two opinions, areas where we're not quite ready to take God's word, not quite ready to give up self. How long will you halt between two opinions? What did the people say? Verse 21, again, they answered not a word. Why didn't they answer? Didn't they know? Didn't they want to say? Probably they didn't want to say. Number four, if we want revival, we need to identify who or what we are serving. Maybe we don't serve a foreign god. Maybe we don't serve Baal or Ashtaroth or any of the other gods that these people worshipped and served. But let's be honest with our own hearts. Who are we serving? Who is the master of my heart? Who is the master of my life? Could it be self? Could it be that we're serving a way of life, even? How do we know who we're serving? One of the things I often think about is what my first thought is in the morning when I wake up. I think that's a pretty good indication of what's important to me and who I'm serving. Who's getting my attention, or what is getting my attention? Do our thoughts go to God, our Father? Thank Him immediately for this new day and for giving me another day to serve Him. Revival will not occur until we identify who we're serving, till we know that I am serving God. I am on His side, unashamedly. I am His. Until we confess with our mouth who we serve. We need to abandon all forms of false security in our lives. There's a lot of things that we become slaves to because they feel like a security to us. There are people who just cannot give up bitterness because it's just something they've always hung on to, and it feels right to keep it there. It feels right to keep that person held in your grip. There are folks who hold on to other securities, bitterness, doubt. We need to give those up, and we need to identify who our master is. We cannot be driven by these things, or we are a servant to them. Moving on, Elijah called to them, beautiful call in verse 30, "Come near unto me." And it says he built up the altar that was broken down. I'm not sure exactly how this was. It appears to me like there was two altars, because it appears like they both took an altar. Maybe there was an altar that was built to God at one point on top of Mount Carmel that was there and was broken down, because it does say he built it up. I'm not sure if it was the one that the prophets of Baal were jumping up and down on top of. But either way, either this altar was broken down by direct satanic attack, or else it was broken down because of the law of entropy, because things just simply degenerate, right? Things have a way of breaking down. Just take your vehicles, for instance, or your houses. I don't know how folks who support evolution can actually see things that get better. My things all get worse. My truck is rusting out already. You see, there are altars that need to be rebuilt because they're being broken down. Number five, if we want revival, we need to rebuild the altars in our lives, or the altar in our lives. That altar could be a number of different things. Could be our personal worship that has just simply taken its downward course, slowly cooling off, slowly dying, slowing down. It could be our family worship. It could be our commitment to God. It could be our surrender to Him. It could be our sacrifice or our giving or our lack of it. I don't know what it is in your heart, but let's stop and think about it, because if there's going to be revival, that altar must be rebuilt. We have to see the altars that are broken down, and we need to, with God's help, rebuild them. Number six. If we want revival, we need to examine our motives. Why are you here? Think about Elijah a little bit. Let's look at his prayer and let's pick apart his motives a little bit. If you had any doubts that Elijah was here to be a superstar, to be a hero, if you think that Elijah assumed that probably 3,000 years later we'd still be reading his story, I don't think so. He didn't want fame. He didn't even necessarily want rain. If you read this particular prayer, later on he prayed for rain. Elijah wants revival. That's what this prayer is all about. He's tired of God not getting the glory that he deserves from the people. He's tired of God's people living like Baal is their deliverer. Like Baal will send them rain and like Baal will deliver them from their enemies. He simply wants to see God's people give God the glory that he deserves. Let's read this prayer again. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. That's his prayer. And that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. I'm just doing God's service. I'm just his. Then Elijah lists four things. He says, God, reveal your power. Reveal your power that you are God in Israel. He's praying for fire. He's praying for something that looks impossible, right? Stones, wood, a bullock, 12 barrels of water, soaking it as soaked as can be, water in a ditch around it, and he wants a fire to ignite? Have you ever tried to start a fire with wet wood? It's awful. So he's praying that something would happen that would show that God is God. And if fire comes down from heaven, certainly it shows that God is God. He wants to put Baal to shame. He really does. Seems like there's been some confusion among the prophets of Baal and the children of Israel as to who is God. And he says, reveal your power. And then he says, reveal your prophet. I am your servant. I am your servant. Wouldn't it seem like Elijah would deserve to feel like he was owed a little bit of vindication? After all, he was called the troubler of Israel. Ahab was searching him. He was on the run for years. Wouldn't it be nice to just have a little bit of proof that I wasn't the bad one, right? He says, no, just reveal your prophet. Let the people know that who I'm serving. I'm a prophet of God. Direct the glory to God. Don't let them think that the drought was just bad luck. Don't let them think that the rain was just, well, it was just coming. It was just inevitable. It was going to happen. Don't let them think that this altar just burned by coincidence. Let them know that you are God and I am your prophet. Thirdly, reveal your people. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. And now he gets even more specific as to who he's aiming at. The reason for this contest, the reason for this was, yes, to direct glory to God, yes, to be a willing prophet, but it was about the people. It was about people who had turned their backs on God and needed to see God and needed a revival. And so he prayed for them. And then he prayed that God would reveal his purpose, that thou hast turned their heart back again, that God is purposeful about revival. He's purposeful in the hearts of people who have turned against them. He's purposeful in bringing miracles, bringing life circumstances together to show people who he is and to bring revival into their hearts. Again, I think that should be part of our prayer. God, reveal your power. Reveal your prophet. Reveal your people. And reveal your purpose to us. There's so much more here that we could look at. We could look at Elijah's faith. We could look at Obadiah and his obedience. We could look at the impact that all of this left on Israel. But I want to go down to the end, verses 44 and 45, where we have this little story. We should have read it. Jumped over it for sake of time, but we have, again, Elijah praying for rain and sending his servant to look. And then he sees this little cloud. In verse 44, it came to pass the seventh time he went to look, that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." And then we have this great pouring out of rain. Number 7, to desire revival is to desire God's blessing. Just want us to be reminded of that. Revival is something God desires for you. It is a blessing that he wants to pour out on our lives. You see, the reason I wanted to talk about this a little bit is because sometimes we get fearful at revival. Get a little scared about, what's God going to ask me to change? What's he going to put his finger on and say, you know, you're not completely surrendered in this life, in this area of your life. I want you to give up this. I want you to change. I want you to go speak to this person that you said this to. I want you to go speak to this neighbor that you've never talked to about the Lord. Whatever it is, if God revives your heart, whatever he speaks to you and whatever he asks of you will be a blessing. Don't cheat him out of giving you a blessing. He longs to pour out a great rain. It was an incredible rain here. Must have made a lot of mudslides. All the trees, all the grass was gone. What a mess. But it was the pouring out of God's blessing in answer to a prayer. Maybe you're afraid God's going to send you somewhere. Maybe you're afraid he's going to send you to Africa. And you just can't imagine how you could ever survive. Again, I just pray that we would see it as a blessing. That we would pray that God would reveal himself to us in ways that can be a blessing to us. And that we would not be fearful of embracing that, exercising our faith, and finding his blessing real. In Jeremiah, we have the verse, Jeremiah 29:11. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." That was certainly true here as well. There was a great blessing in store. God has a blessing in store for you. He is a God of peace and love. He longs to pour things into your life that will contribute to your walk with him. I'm sure many of you can give testimony to things that you dreaded or feared, but that you did because God asked you to and it proved to be a blessing. I just wonder tonight, this week, if you and I would be willing to do that. Be willing to lay down our fears. Be willing to embrace the blessing that God longs to bring to us. Let me go back to the title again briefly. Revival, Repentance, and Rain. We didn't really talk about repentance that much. But I put them in that order. I used three R's because maybe it can help us remember it. But when God begins to fan a flame in your heart that's been waning, one of the first things that should happen is repentance. A turning around. Agreeing with God. That's the definition of repentance that I like. Simply agreeing with God. It's saying, "Yes, God, your way is going to be my way." And then there's rain and there's blessing. I don't think we're going to give an invitation tonight, but I will open it up for testimonies. Maybe there's something that you know that is standing in the way of revival in your heart this week. Maybe there's a confession that you'd like to make. Give you just a minute or two. Maybe a determination that you want to make, something that you're going to do in order to experience God's blessing in your life this week. Is there anyone? Thank you. God bless you. Well, thank you for being good listeners. Children, come back every night. I hope to have a few children's meetings for you, Lord willing. And please come back praying. I sense a deep need of your prayers. I appreciate all the prayers that have already been offered on our behalf. Let's pray that God will bring revival to our hearts. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for meeting here with us tonight. We thank you for this revival meetings. I pray, Lord, that we truly would experience your presence and your revival, just as you came down on Mount Carmel thousands of years ago, and you lit a fire on a wet sacrifice to show that you are God. I pray that you would kindle the flames and the altars of our hearts. Any altars that are broken down, Lord, give us the courage to rebuild them so that we can offer you the sacrifice of our hearts that you deserve. Thank you for the promise of blessing when we surrender to you, when we agree with you, when we repent of our sins. And I pray, Father, that that blessing would be experienced among us this week. Continue to speak to our hearts. Teach us the things that we need to learn and help us to do your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.